the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Friends and enemies, welcome to yet another edition of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast. I'm Len. Joey has the evening off. Good for him. But I have the pleasure of bringing in a guest that we haven't talked to in the past. But before we go there, well, let's just talk about our sponsors, because we do have a couple of sponsors that we want to talk about. Number one, we have EasyDNS. Well, with EasyDNS, what do we get? We have our own website. It works well. It's now up and running, and we're using EasyDNS to do this. And thank you, Mark, for all your help to get this done, because this has been a long time coming, and it's not due to their efforts. It's due to our inaction. But anyways, our website is now up, and it's all thanks to EasyDNS. But with EasyDNS, you could also do Anycast DNS, domain name registration, which we did through them, web and email hosting, web hosting. We're doing email hosting. We're going to be transferring over there. So we're going to be basically the guinea pig. Well, not guinea pig. This has been done many times before, but just goes to show you that a couple of nobodies like Joey and I can do this, and you could do it as well. They're fast, reliable. You could also pay with Bitcoin, which is really cool. They're privacy focused. This is a company you want to deal with if you are wanting to get your web hosting, your email hosting, anything along those lines done. So check them out, EasyDNS. Second sponsor, we have Bull Bitcoin, where you could buy, sell your Bitcoin, but who really wants to sell their Bitcoin? People want to keep stacking sats at this particular moment of the game. But you could also buy through Lightning, through Liquid, KYC-free Bitcoin. You could exchange your dirty fiat at over 6,000 locations throughout Canada, and they'll give you Bitcoin in return. Where else are you going to get that done? There's more locations for the exchange your fiat, dirty fiat, than there are Tim Hortons in Canada. So that goes to show you there's a lot of opportunity to do this. But also, you can live on the Bitcoin standard. You could pay your bills with Bitcoin, and you could buy gift cards with your Bitcoin. And through that, you could live in the real world and start exchanging some of the value that you stored in your Bitcoin for goods and services out there. So check them out. We have our referral code below. And if you use that and fund your account, you're going to get $20 added to it. Not too shabby. But you know what? Enough about me. Let's bring on Mark Morano. He's the man of the hour. And Mark, thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you, Len. Happy to be here today. I'm going to talk to you about the Great Reset, climate change, ESG, central bank, digital currency. We're going to have a great, we're in the middle of a huge PSYOP right now with climate. We're going from the COVID PSYOP to the climate PSYOP, but I want to thank you guys and the Canadian Bitcoiners for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate that. And thanks to one guest that had this arranged for us, because he was able to make this happen. So Mark, because we're a Bitcoin show and they may not be familiar with your body of work, maybe you could give a history of who you are to our audience.
Great. Okay. I'm an investigative journalist, and I started my career back in 1992. And my first job was Rush Limbaugh, the television show, which was a nationally syndicated show by Rush Limbaugh. It was a TV version of his radio show. And I was his man in Washington. So this is where I sort of cut my teeth with journalism and with politics on the national DC scene. So I would go cover animal rights marches. I would cover environmental marches. I would cover Million Man March by Louis Farrakhan. I was covering the feminist marches. I was covering Capitol Hill. I was covering the Clinton administration and all of his cabinet members. I'd go to White House correspondence dinners and interview people, you know, some of them a little inebriated. I had a whole system. So it was quite a fun segment. I was known as Our Man in Washington, as Rush would say it, on his TV show. So I was his DC on-screen correspondent. I wore a hat and trench coat. And I started with all that. And I also did a lot of freelance journalism at the time. And then I worked for a American Investigator, which was a TV news magazine show, a la 60 Minutes, but it was the conservative version of that. And I did a debunking of the Amazon rainforest in a documentary, and I did stories on wetlands and agriculture and environmental issues and government regulatory overreach. And then from there, I worked for the United States Senate Environment and I also worked for Cybercast News Service as an investigative reporter. It's there that I really started picking up the climate beat, because I started about 1999, 2000. I started going 2001, actually, was the first 2002, I guess, was I went to the UN Climate Summit or Earth Summit in Johannesburg, South Africa. And since then, I've gone to almost every UN summit all around the world, in Bali, in South America. I'm going to United Arab Emirates in December this year. I was in Egypt last year. And there really is nothing comparable to going on the ground to these summits and being the sort of the fly in the buttermilk, if you will. You know, we stick out, we get banned, we get censored, we get ejected. I've been arrested. I've had armed climate cops escort me out of these events. For actually one time I had a card when President Trump won in 2016. They had it in Marrakesh, Morocco, and I showed up with a full-size cardboard cutout of Trump, and I had a UN Paris Climate Agreement, and I plugged a paper shredder in right outside the media hall and started shredding the UN Paris Agreement, and I had a Trump center. Anyway, they came and they shut me down. This made the loop on CNN. Every half hour, they had the loop of me being essentially arrested by the UN armed climate cops, sent me out into the desert. I wandered the desert, and they came and confiscated my bag. Anyway. So I've been going to these. That's one of the ways. So I've kept up on that. But I started the website Climate Depot in 2009. And with the Senate, I went to the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee right before that. I worked under the Republican Committee. I was their communication director. Also did a lot of climate reports. I did the 400 dissenting scientists from around the world, including many UN and former United Nations climate scientists who reevaluated and dissented and started critiquing the UN. That grew to over 1,000. Started Climate Depot, and I've been doing Climate Depot now since 2009. And I have three books. One's The Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change, which is a great coffee table reference book that came out in 2018. And I have The Green Fraud, which came out in 2021. And I have Great Reset, which just came out last year, 2022. And that sort of ties it all together. So if you're interested in good summary, a coffee table book on climate from A to Z, from African development to the 97% consensus, to the hockey stick, to the whole UN process, to the indoctrination of kids, The Politically Incorrect Guide is great. If you're interested in the history of the whole green energy fraud, The Green Fraud is great. And climate and the Great Reset really ties it all together, because, as you know, March of 2020 changed the world. That's when the forces of globalism, for lack of a better word, decided that they no longer needed any stinking democracy. And that's where everything has changed since March of 2020. You declare an emergency, you bypass democracy, you have corporate government collusion, and you basically do whatever the hell you want. And it's exactly the parallels. My latest report, and I actually gave a presentation on this at the Heartland Climate Conference down in Orlando a few months ago, was the comparisons of COVID and climate. And I go through point by point, and I actually have something up on my website this week, and I posted my speech, and there's also a chart that shows you everything you've ever wanted to know about the COVID lockdowns and mask mandates and all the bypassing of democracy had all been born during the climate era, although they weren't that successful in the climate era. COVID showed them the way, and now, to put it simply, the COVID psyop is ending. And the climate psyop is now in full bloom. And that's evident with the UN declaration of global boiling this year. And
yes,
you go through point by point, the hottest ocean temperature, the Antarctic sea ice, the hottest temperature in 100,000 years. We can go through that. We could go through, you know, that would never have been this hot. Our computer models say without CO2, everything they said, even the scientists and UN reports and underlying government data, none of it supports it. This is just a massive psyop they're imposing on us. And a psyop, just so everyone knows, psychological operation. It's where the government weaponizes information and literally only allows information that leads you to one conclusion. In this case, it's that we have a climate emergency and we need essentially massive government restrictions a la COVID. And they're not kidding. Climate lockdowns aren't a theoretical thing. They're banning gas-powered cars to create vehicle rationing, a la Cuba or a la, East Germany, where you only have one official government, one official government recommended car. You also have France now banning flights of 2.5 hours explicitly to save the planet from climate change. There's an EU-wide proposal to ban flights of 6 hours or under to force people into cars and trains and buses. That's an actual real thing. We're seeing it, the intentional collapse of energy, food, and transportation. We're seeing it in the Netherlands with agricultural restrictions. We're seeing it in Australia where they're decimating farmers. We're seeing it in Canada. We saw it in Sri Lanka. And guess what? John Kerry just announced in the last couple of weeks that these agricultural restrictions are now arrived in the United States. We're going after our high-yield agriculture. We're going after meat eating. And all of this, just like COVID lockdowns, we didn't vote to restrict gas-powered cars. They were all done through unelected bureaucrats, corporate government collusion. The UN is telling the World Bank, other way around. The World Bank is telling automakers they're not going to finance gas-powered cars. Corporate banks aren't going to give out car loans to people buying them. We now have cities in Colorado, California that are banning the creation of new gas stations. So even if you own a gas-powered car, you're going to have gas station shortages is one of their intents. And then, of course, you have people like Gavin Newsom, who declares an executive order, unelected bureaucrats, California Air Resources Board, issue timetables to get rid of it. 22 states have trigger laws. Biden administration is looking at the exact same thing. Meanwhile, they're literally through the executive branch, not a single vote of Congress. They're basically statutorily killing gas-powered cars with higher and higher emission standards, making it just so you won't even be allowed to make them. They just banned light bulbs this week, went into effect. They're talking about banning pizza ovens and gas stoves. They're talking about thermostat controls. They're talking about Mayor Bloomberg in New York. None of this stuff I'm saying is some, I have a secret documents or this is a secret cabal. This is all mainstream corporate news reported. It's all in the directly from the World Economic Forum videos or from the United Nations. So they're talking, Mayor Bloomberg did a report talking about limiting clothing by 2030 to 3 new items per person per year of clothing. Not making this crap up. I'm not saying they're going to achieve that by 2030, but that's the mindset. This is what we are dealing with. This is a collapse of everything we've ever known in our lifetime, Len. Anyway, I don't want to be alarmist or conspiratorial, but that's my opening. Thank you.
Well, that's quite an opening. The 3 items of clothing per year. It almost sounds like that they want us to live on Gilligan's Island or something along those lines. Now, all those places you visited, like the UN Climate Summit in Johannesburg, yes, and then recently in South Africa, that was the COP26.
Egypt, I was in, and the most recent, yes.
Yeah, so those, and I just want to get first-hand coverage on this. I would assume all the planes flying in from all over, yes, all the corners of the globe, they were all either powered by compressed air or battery. Is that correct?
No. In fact, all of these UN summits, first of all, the UN summit themselves uses more electricity than entire African nations use in a year. That's number one. They'll have diesel generators powering. A lot of times it's complete waste. They'll set up a temp, like when I was in Lima, Peru, they'll set up temporary tents that go for acres and acres with diesel generators and air conditioning blasting because they don't have the space for all these tens of thousands of people. And the airports are always filled, just like the World Economic Forum Davos Summit, filled with private jets. You can't even, you have to reserve places outside the area because the airports will fill up. And that's the funny thing. No one is walking the walk. And when I showed up in Egypt, by the way, you were greeted with a guy that had climate deniers belong in jail signs set up.
What?
Irish climate activist. And this is just what they did. This is what they do. And then in Egypt as well, interesting little side note is Greta Thunberg has become so radical in the climate movement that at least we can partially agree. She now says the UN is full of greenwashing and lying, and it's just corporately controlled and not really going to save the earth. She now recognizes that, but she's even more radical than the UN. So the UN basically threw her under the bus, and they got a new Greta, a 20-year-old girl named, yeah, Sophia, who runs around and hangs out with John Kerry and the UN Secretary General and poses for pictures. She gives speeches to the UN climate summit at the General Assembly meeting. I mean, at the whole Secretary General meeting. I mean, it's an incredible sight. These are the people deciding our fate. The World Economic Forum showed up in Egypt. And of course, they're talking about linking COVID and climate. And that's I have a whole chapter in my book in The Great Reset. They're basically saying again, this is mainstream, corporate, academia. None of this is like secret sources or none of this is me getting some obscure blog post by a Greenpeace and blowing it out of proportion. This is the Harvard School of Medicine. It's the journal Nature. It's 230 medical journals all saying in order to tackle the climate emergency, we have to use the same template that we dealt with in COVID. Gee, what was that template? Declare an emergency, bypass democracy, and impose tyranny upon the world. Stay-at-home orders. Well, hey, if we don't have private vehicles and we can't fly anymore, and they're restricting it, as Bloomberg News says, climate compliance rules are making cheap airlines a thing of the past. This is corporate media reporting this. Then we're essentially, it's the exact same model we're facing in the COVID world, climate world. We're basically going to be forced at home. We're going to have food restrictions. We're going to have free speech restrictions. Right before this UN summit in Egypt, the UN announced that we own the science and we partnered with Google to ensure that. They actually said we own the science of climate. And so now they announced, and you could enter it in your search engine right now, enter the words climate change, as the UN bragged about, and it comes back all official United Nations approved either sources, UN sources or UN approved sources. So they're controlling our speech the way they did during COVID. They're locking us down. COVID lockdown morphed to climate lockdown. And they're doing the same thing with dissent. If you recall, for decades, we were told 97% of all climate scientists agree. Turns out there was only 77 anonymous scientists in the survey. It was complete trash, bogus. And also Biden administration fired all the scientists at the EPA who might disagree with them. So they could actually say now, when they do a new climate rule or environmental regulation, all scientists agree, there's no problem. They literally fired over 50 scientists that were on the EPA advisory board. So that's how they get it. The same way the Barrington Declaration, the scientists that came out on COVID, they were silenced, canceled, defunded. It's the exact same template, except COVID was much more successful. Why? Why was COVID more successful than climate? Because the fear factor was so much more intense in COVID than climate. But now they're working on it. If you see what they did this summer, they're working overtime. And I give them credit. They're good at what they do. Remember, James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, actually interviewed a CNN director in undercover footage who said, once COVID ends, we're going to go full bore into the climate emergency. And by golly, they're keeping their word. So you got to give them credit for keeping their word, and you got to give them credit for talent. Now, it's talent in the service of essentially tyranny, but it's still an incredible talent. And I liken this, I'm sorry to do a Senate filibuster here, but.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
What they've done with this summer's heat wave, global boiling, and Hillary Clinton saying, if we hadn't voted for Donald Trump, basically the heat waves wouldn't be as bad. That's why the weather is so bad. They are doing exactly what they did with COVID case counts. And in the places like Australia, there are places around the world, Australia, New Zealand, you wake up in the morning and think, oh, I'm going to go to work today. My kid's going to school. But no, if some bizarre metric called a COVID case count was too high in your area, you could have, quote, an instant lockdown. Wake up in the morning and find out you're stuck at home, or you may only have an hour a day to go outside. And I mean, even go outside, you're not even allowed out, or you couldn't go to the beach, you couldn't exercise. And so what they've done with those COVID case counts, one epidemiologist finally said, University of California, tying the COVID mandates to COVID case counts is like tying COVID lockdowns to phases of the moon. There's no science behind it. And so what they've done with climate is the exact same model as they did with COVID case counts. They have this global average temperature, which they can tweak and change and do all kinds of statistics and smooth out and get rid of the simple fact that heat waves were much worse in the 1930s in the United States. The Biden administration's own EPA shows them about 10 times worse. 1936, the hottest year. Every major city, 75% of all states had their highest temperatures before the 1950s. And so this is how they do it. They have this number and they cherry pick little events around the world. And they say, look at this. There's a heat wave in Europe. There's a drought in Australia. Think of it like a lottery. Your chance of winning the lottery is very low. The chance of someone somewhere winning the lottery is very high. So what they've done is they've collected all the extreme weather events the same way a lottery promotion would catch all the lottery winners and present them all at once. And you see, look at this person won $1 million. This person won 50 million. This person won 8 million. Everyone's winning the lottery. Here's names, faces. This is unprecedented. Look, they're all over the place. I'm seeing page after page, face after face. Same thing casinos do with slot winners. You go into you see a wall of winners in a casino. You get the impression everyone's winning. Well, that's what the media does with hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, droughts, wildfires, and heat waves. They make it look like it's all unprecedented, when in reality, even the United Nations admits that on climate timescales, 30, 50, 100 years, there's either no trend or declining trend in all this extreme weather. And this is in the reports. The National Climate Assessment admits this. All the climate data, the only way they can get around that is they'll say, well, one region of California beginning in 1999, the droughts have increased this much. California. No, California had much worse droughts hundreds of years ago. Global droughts are on declining trends or no trend. Same with global floods. I mean, this is in the peer-reviewed literature, but this is how they do it. They cherry pick. Associated Press had an article today basically doing just all over cherry picking all these events. Just imagine if you were like, you were sinister and you wanted to combine slot winners at a casino with lottery winners. The Associated Press would just go around saying, this person won. This is unprecedented. The lottery has never paid out more winnings in its life. This is unprecedented. Record amount people are winning. The slot machines are paying off. You would get the impression that you should be playing the lottery and that you should be doing slot machines in a casino because everyone's winning and their winnings are just off the charts. And that's what they're doing with the weather right now and with the heat. They're making it seem as though it's happening everywhere and that it's unprecedented and it's all bullshit from beginning to end. Sorry, I'm again. I'll let you talk. I'm following.
No. This is fantastic. Keep going on. But I have a question for you because sure. Number one, a comment. I just wanted to give you kudos out there for fighting the global boiling and your backyard looks, or yeah. At least an outdoorsy setting.
Yeah, I'm not sweating. I'm not even. I'm a little hot, but yeah. I'm suffering in a heat wave. I'm in suburban DC. And I'm denying a heat wave being a record. So it is hot. It is August, but it's not that hot. We had hot weather last week. This week is only mid 80s and humidity, mid 80s Fahrenheit. So.
Yeah, and same over here in just outside Toronto. It's relatively yes. chilly comparatively. But anyways, in terms of all this information people are getting fed, because normally they look at watch TV, listen to radio, or even go on sites like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, yes. Twitter, and so forth. What can people do to try to educate themselves in terms of what is really going on out there? Because if they're going to rely on these traditional sources, well, they're going to be spoon-fed the information that they've been spoon-fed all this time. But what would you recommend for people to do to get the real information out there?
Well, I'm glad you asked. My website's climatedepot.com, and I don't have enough time to do all original, meaning I don't write all the articles. I link to everyone on a daily basis and my Twitter at Climate Depot. So I will link to United Nations climate experts who turned against the UN. I link to meteorologists and climatologists, to Nobel Prize winning scientists. We just had one come out, John Clauser, who basically said climate change was a scam and there's no evidence that this is any kind of threat to humanity. And of course, what happened to this Nobel Prize winner, John Clauser, who just came out? He was just canceled by an International Monetary Fund speech at the last minute once his climate views became known. So they're doing to him what they did to the Barrington Declaration scientists. I would say go to Climate Depot, go to @ClimateDepot on Twitter. And then from there, you will see, I'm not promoting myself necessarily. I'm promoting all the people I would link to and all the sources I link to. And I link to government data. When I'm talking about heat waves, I will show you charts from NOAA that show us at a radically cooler period. I will show you charts from the United Nations report 1990 that shows the medieval warm period much warmer than today. I will show you charts from Biden's EPA that shows you the 1930s heat wave index blows away anything we're dealing with now. By the way, you know how Biden dealt with that, the administration? This is how dishonest they are. They have 100 years of heat wave index, 100 plus years of heat wave index. Shows the 1930s insanely out of control. So what do they do? How do they get around this? They came out and said heat waves are worse in the United States. Well, how is that possible? How did they do that? They started their chart in 1960 when they made that claim. And what happened is the 1930s dropped, and then we went through the man-made global cooling phase up until the late 70s. So they started 1960, and they show that all that cool weather, so they show the current temperature is up. If they had just started their chart another 30 years back, they would have shown heat waves dropping. This is the kind of silliness that goes on. By the way, I mentioned the UN medieval warm period was warmer than today, 1990. We had scientists when I worked in the US Senate testify that they were approached by other scientists affiliated with the United Nations climate report that said literally, and I quote, "We have to get rid of the medieval warm period," meaning it was not convenient to the climate narrative being pushed by the United Nations. And get lo and behold, 2001, Michael Mann, scientist, was at Penn State. He got rid of the medieval warm period. It was called statistical rubbish. It was called, you know, all this stuff, but it didn't matter. They got what they wanted. They have a new thing that shows all temperatures flat and then the 20th century spiking. Now, guess what? The Biden's EPA chart, which I've referenced multiple times, there's a scientist in Texas named Andrew Dessler, who's literally almost said verbatim, "We have to get rid of the EPA 1930s heat wave." It just doesn't fit their narrative. This is how they get that perfect narrative. This is how they get all scientists to agree. But you don't have to take my word for it. Most of your audience is aware of how we saw this in real time mainstream, meaning not just in the niche of the climate world, but we saw it in real time, how they crafted their consensus of COVID scientists during COVID. I mean, they literally, Nobel Prize winning epidemiologist, a chemist, Michael Levitt, was uninvited to scientific conferences. I already mentioned the Great Barrington Declaration and how they were defunded and canceled. Stop. We know that NIH and the CDC and the Biden administration, in conjunction with our national security agencies, would go to social media and say, pull Robert F. Kennedy, pull this post on COVID, pull that. They were just going hog wild, crafting that consensus. So I think people are now understanding what I've been screaming about for decades. And really simply, it's that they suppressed dissenting scientists. I have a whole chapter in my politically incorrect guide. And that's why they had the illusion of consensus. And that's the same way they did it in COVID, although we got to see in real time and the scientists pushing back. In the climate world, it was a lot harder because A, it was years ago, and B, they didn't have all that mainstream attention and everyone focused on it, because there was always a niche issue that no one really thought much about.
One thing you talk about often is the Great Reset, and that's something that we hear about quite a bit. Is there any way that they could tie in the narrative of the climate agenda and the hysteria that they're pumping into that and make it so that a Great Reset is going to be easier for people to swallow?
Yes. In fact, that's part of my whole presentation, and I have chapters in my book. Harvard School of Medicine, 230 medical. I just touched on it, but here's what they're doing. Unchecked climate change leads to more viruses. And this is what the Harvard School of Medicine, this is what the journal Nature, this is what other scientists, this is what the new claim is. So, and Anthony Fauci has done this multiple times, New England Journal of Medicine, basically that, you know, we're having all these viruses now because of unchecked climate change. And so if you don't support the Green New Deal or gas-powered car bans or banning of meat eating or flight bans, as we're seeing sweep Europe, then you are a grandma killer. So they've ultimately combined the two. They're merging. COVID and climate are merging. Now, in this world of COVID and climate merging, I maintain that climate really can't stand alone. Viruses scare the hell out of people across all ideologies, party affiliation, ages, whereas climate was always going to be a niche issue. And but you combine the two, which is what the World Health Organization is doing right now. We're a few months away. At least I'm not exactly sure what's going on in Canada, but I think Trudeau is all in as well. But Biden administration is all in on the World Health Organization pandemic treaty. And guess what? The World Health Organization has already declared essentially an international climate emergency, said the climate is the existential threat of this century. And they're going to have Bill Gates funded scientists at the WHO give them the power under this pandemic treaty to basically declare global instant lockdowns. When they declare a pandemic, they're going to have the power to lock you down. They're going to have the power of central bank digital currency, ultimately, is what they're seeking. They're going to have the power to stop stay-at-home orders, vaccine mandates, mask mandates. Biden administration is actually in the United States so extreme on this, they want to go further than even the WHO is proposing. So that's the next greatest threat. And that's a short time scale, you know, within the next 6 months, that we have to deal with this. And I think once people wake up, I hope we'll defeat this. And there's no way Biden will be able to get away with it. But the other thing that's happening is the Biden administration is now being pressured by NASA scientists, by climate activists like Bill McKibben and many others, and all these environmental groups to declare a national climate emergency. His press secretary was just heckled and interrupted by climate activists. Once Joe Biden in the United States declares a national climate emergency, guess what the Center for Biological Diversity says it will mean? Joe Biden, as president, will get 130 new executive powers, meaning he can bypass democracy. This would extend to mayors, governors. We already know the plan of what they want to do. They want to radically control thermostats, as we saw in Colorado, where utilities in collusion with government won't let you turn your air conditioner to any cooler during a heat wave to save energy during a climate emergency. We know that it's going to mean more gas-powered car timetables probably moved up. We know it's going to be gas station restrictions. We know it's going to be meat-eating restrictions. We know it's going to be more things. All the stuff we talked about, pizza ovens and gas stoves, this is almost exclusively all done without any vote of a legislator. It's just imposed upon us through bureaucracy. Now, a lot of it may be overturned in the courts, but that's many years down the line. I use the example of COVID. We had, in the United States, CDC essentially issue the COVID mask mandate. It took almost 2 years for one President Trump appointed federal judge to say this is unconstitutional. The CDC can't do this and the Biden administration can't do it through executive order. And they went, and the moment the Supreme Court ruled it, people were midair in flights and the captain came on and said the mask mandate has ended by via federal judge, and everyone would rip their masks off on planes and celebrate. But that took 2 years. So we're in a mess here. And I blame mostly Republican Party. We have leadership in Washington, and I'm talking about just specifically the United States. Of course, I blame the Canadian conservatives and the European alleged conservatives, or the non-liberals, because it's all different names. You don't want to confuse people. But you have, in the case of in the United States, we have a GOP House leader, Kevin McCarthy. Ask him about climate change. He'll say climate's a problem and Republicans want a solution. They'll send delegations of Republican congressmen to UN summits. They won't criticize any of the problems of the UN. They'll just say, well, we think fossil fuels need to be a long bother. And by the way, Kevin McCarthy, our GOP leader in the House, Republican, the guy who's supposed to be leading the charge against all this, will say, hey, climate's a problem, and our solution, we're going to be planting 1 trillion trees, and we're going to capture carbon. They just play the game. There's no one to say, no, we're not bypassing democracy. We're not going net zero. We're stopping this now. We're not going to allow car bans. We're not going to allow meat restrictions. We're not going to allow flight restrictions. We're not going to allow agricultural restrictions that John Kerry. There's just no real pushback. The uniparty in Canada, the United States, and Europe has accepted this premise. So now it's forced me. Here's a bizarre quote for you. Here, this might make news. It's forced me and August of 2023, my two top candidates for president at the moment, and this may make people vomit, are Vivek Ramaswamy running and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And I'm the one who interviewed Robert F. Kennedy Jr. about in 2014 when he said he wanted to jail the energy CEOs and punish politicians who were climate deniers. He's come a long way. He's been red-pilled on this, and he's now saying he will not talk about climate. He will not try to convince people about climate. This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And because climate has been hijacked by the United Nations and World Economic Forum for totalitarian control of society. Welcome to the table, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
And Vivek released a video today talking about January 6th and the fact that Trump, it's sort of like a banana republic that they're using the DOJ as a weaponized tool to go after him. And it was a really good video. I'd recommend anybody out there that hasn't viewed it to take a listen to it.
The reason I mentioned those two names, Trump, I mean, I would probably vote for Trump, but he hasn't come clean on COVID. It still bothers me. He hasn't come clean on the damage Operation Warp Speed caused for the vaccine. He hasn't, because he suppressed all the other treatments. He still bragged about that. He's the one that signed the national executive order that gave the emergency powers to governors and mayors. And then he goes after Ron DeSantis by telling us that Ron DeSantis, did a horrible job in Florida and that Governor Cuomo in New York. I'm sorry, I just short out and I can't even think about Trump at that moment. Maybe I'll recover. And also Ron DeSantis, I have a problem with. He came out against the Ukraine aid and within 24 hours had to reverse his position. Because he's running against Trump, the establishment GOP donors who hate Trump are now turning to DeSantis because he's the best shot. And that's forced DeSantis from being an anti-establishment candidate to sort of playing footsie with the establishment because Trump's there. If Trump weren't running for president, the establishment probably wouldn't pick DeSantis and he would be a fantastic candidate, be his own man. But because he's running against Trump, he's now beholden to these donors. So it's a bad year for DeSantis. I'm lost faith in him, even though I love him and think he's the greatest U.S. governor in 50 years. Anyway, but that's where I am right now. Vivek Ramaswamy or Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? I hope I don't offend people.
I don't think you are, because we talked about each of them because they talk fondly of Bitcoin over the last few months. And I'll ask you that question more close to the end of this interview. But I just want to transition to CBDCs, and maybe we could talk about the slideshow that you have over there. And you can bring it up.
Why don't I show? Am I screen shared or no?
It's now shared.
Okay, hold on 1 sec. I can just run through some of the. Let me just start with this. Let me just go through some real thing, and this will go through a little bit on central bank digital currency and ESG, and then we'll go from there. Okay, Great Reset was World Economic Forum. This was 2 months after COVID. March of 2020, this was June of 2020, the head of the World Economic Forum said, it's time for a great reset. We have a rare, narrow window of opportunity in which to reset the world. This was while we were all locked down. Churches closed, schools closed, medical things canceled, weddings, funerals canceled, everyone forced to stay at home orders, governors, pure dictators. You could snitch on your neighbors, get rewards. This was the time when the World Economic Forum said, this is tremendous opportunity. And they said, we needed a great reset, rare window of opportunity. And believe me, they exploited that rare, narrow window of opportunity. And they came out with, this had been previous, that they had announced this 2016, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. And that's exactly what's happening. Carol Roth, the financial advisor, who's been, I guess, been red-pilled. She's been on Fox Business for years and a financial Wall Street guru. She has a new book out called You Will Own Nothing. And she talks about just even in the property world, 2010, it was almost not even measurable, the equity assets and investment firms buying real estate. And now it's like, I don't know if it's in the, about 20% and increasing. But the idea is they're buying up property now, not for people to live in, but they're turning rent owners into renters. We're seeing Bill Gates do the exact same thing with American farmland. He's the single largest farmland owner, just beat out China. As the single largest farmland owner. And he's forcing, because of these climate compliance laws, because of all the disruptions and COVID lockdowns, these farmers are essentially forced to sell. Bill Gates buys it. In many cases, the farmers can stay on the land. NBC News reported that he was the largest single farmland owner. And they reported that he's not the farmer here. He's the landlord. And so these people, this is like medieval serfdom, where farmers who once owned their own land are being forced to sell out to equity asset, to Bill Gates, to big conglomerates, because they can't afford to farm anymore because of all the climate compliance laws hitting them with methane or in high yield agriculture. And nitrogen and methane in particular. And so they're now working for Bill Gates. So that part is coming true. You'll own nothing and be happy. And also we have a Democrat candidate, Andrew Yang, abolish private car ownership. We can get ride share. We have Boris Johnson's old transportation secretary, while she was transportation secretary, announced that owning a car was outdated 20th century thinking. Whatever you want will be delivered by drone. This is all direct from the World Economic Forum video. The U.S. won't be the world's leading superpower. I think we're well on the way to that. There'll be a global price on carbon, make fossil fuels history. That's the climate. Eating meat restricted. The World Economic Forum says meat will be occasional treat, not a staple. Gore is in on this. A time for a great reset. Time to reset the bunch. Among them, the challenges of the climate crisis. John Kerry is really going to play a front and center, all of which is laid bare the consequences of COVID-19, climate change, and inequity. So these are the major figures. Klaus Schwab has talked about how they penetrate the cabinets. Your own prime minister, Justin Trudeau, is one of the penetrated cabinets. He's been violated, if you will. All right, I'm out of control now. But anyway,
it's okay. It's all yours, Matt.
Rude, their prime minister was one of them. Half the cabinets in the world, he brags that they've gone through the young leadership forum. So it's the intentional collapse of energy, food, transportation, free speech, property ownership, financial system. You have the modern monetary theory, which is part of this. Just you don't need. Notice we don't have big. We're going to vote on, big spending bills. It's not as often in these countries because they can just print more money and do whatever the hell they want, increase the debt, which then just makes inflationary cycles, devalues our currency. So the Great Reset is here in 2020. You'll be deprived of reliable energy, eating fake meat and bugs. I have a whole sections on that in my talk and in my book. They literally want you to eat. Bill Gates, as America's largest single farmland owner, is a pushing multiple interviews, MIT Technology Review. Again, I don't have secret recordings. I don't have secret documents. He says he wants the entire Western world to be eating synthetic meat, which could either be the vegetable oil processed or his lab-grown meat, which he and Richard Branson have invested billions in. It's stem cells from a cow or calf mixed or pig or sheep mixed with this fetal blood, put into a petri dish in a steel vat, grown without any bones. It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the old movie. Amorphous blob grows. They pump it with additives and texture and coloring. And in the end, it looks like a bunch of taffy they're making. I have the videos posted at Climate Depot. And they print it in a 3D printer, not making that up. And apparently it looks like meat. And who knows, with the technology, they'll be able to get it. But we're going to be eating this synthetic lab-grown meat as they shut down our farms. And as America's largest single farmland owner, he has huge sway. So why all the chaos? Since March of 2020, chaos has reigned. If you go back 1919, the Bolshevik Revolution, Vladimir Lenin, who led the Bolshevik Revolution, had the phrase "worse is better, the worse the better," and that's how they do it. They need that chaos to in order to collapse the existing order. Think of the Great Reset collapsing. You're resetting everything. COVID lockdowns collapsing everything, and then you can rebuild it in your brand of radicalism. And that's exactly what we're experiencing. Warren Buffett, Bill Gates are funding this domestic chaos. The Gates Foundation bankrolls the critical race theory, which gets us all fighting among ourselves, gets us fighting about transgender ideology, racism. This is the way they distract us from the bigger picture of what's going on. As long as we're fighting each other in these culture wars, we're losing. Warren Buffett, this is according to Bill Gates, has donated tens of billions of dollars to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Although the company bears our name, basically half the resources come from Warren Buffett. So who would have thought Warren Buffett? Everyone thinks of him as just financial guru, not involved in politics. Oh, he's involved. 1932 book, Why Should the Soviets Have All the Fun? This was Franklin Roosevelt's kitchen cabinet advisor, Stuart Chase. And if you look at this, this was the original. This has been around 100 years now. This is what they envisioned: control of banking, credit, security. It's a primitive Great Reset for the 1930s. Control of energy, hydroelectric dams by government. Government control of transportation, railway, highway, waterway. Government control of agriculture. Government control, state control of communication and propaganda. And they asked, why should the Soviets have all the fun? This was during the time they were all enamored with Joseph Stalin and his reforms. All right. The other thing I was going to mention is, Klaus Schwab has praised China's one-party rule. And of course, the World Health Organization, by Bill Gates's money, has now said, they told us in February of 2020, copy China's response to COVID. And we did. Neil Ferguson, the modeler, this is another similarity to climate. You come up with a scary scenario. We're all going to die unless we do, you know, the Marxist Green New Deal, or unless we do tyrannical lockdowns. They came up with the exaggerated death count. The once free West has lusted after Chinese rule, the leaders of the once free West, the ruling class. This is 2009, decades ago, Tom Friedman, New York Times, praising China's one party democracy. China, as it is today, has great advantages. One party can impose politically difficult but critically important policies needed to move a society forward. UN chief lamented democracy. It said it was detrimental to fight global warming. This is 2011. She lauded Chinese one-party rule for doing it right on climate. The Apple CEO said China aligns completely with Apple's values on climate change. So World Economic Forum, again, praised China's model for many nations. Justin Trudeau had admiration for China's basic dictatorship. Why am I saying all this? Because that's what was so appealing about COVID lockdowns in the emergency declaration. This is why I'm still angry with Donald Trump for never admitting he made a mistake here. The emergency declarations across the globe gave all these world leaders who were once elected leaders complete dictatorial one-party rule. You didn't need to consult any legislator, any parliament when you locked people in your home, canceled medicine, closed churches, closed schools, forced vaccinated, forced masked, etc. This is what it is, and this is what they've been doing. They've been, our ruling class, academia, media, government have been praising China's one-party rule. They finally got it in March of 2020. Even our U.S. Secretary, Energy Secretary, claims U.S. can learn from what China's doing on climate change. Okay, so let me just fast forward here so we can get to the more relevant to what your show is about. One second. Well, the Great Billionaire Reset. This is good.
I don't want to interrupt you, but the time for your schedule. I want to adhere to your schedule. That's all.
Let me finish this. We got to finish this in like 3 minutes here, and then we
can wrap. Okay. I don't want to screw you over. That's why.
No, I understand. The Great Billionaire Reset. These numbers have actually, this was from 2021. I've heard higher numbers, but this is a great example. Workers, meaning as the greatest transfer of wealth from the poor and middle class to the wealthy and the ruling class, lost $3.7 trillion during the lockdowns. Billionaires gained $3.9 trillion. So they're doing very well. The pandemic created a new billionaire. That shouldn't say pandemic. It should say the lockdowns created a new billionaire every 30 hours. Remember, they crushed small businesses. Only people who can afford these kind of closures and these kind of costs are the big mega corporations. And by the way, it turns into buying season, whether you're talking energy, food. When you disrupt supply chains and crush small and medium-sized business, guess who can come in and sweep out and just and consolidate all the big equity asset firms? And even Gavin Newsom in California bragged it made people richer. Fauci's net worth soared almost $13 million during the lockdown. Of course, he had patents on a lot of the medicines. They want us to follow. Australia, one of the most tyrannical countries. Bill Gates says if every country does what Australia did, we can prevent the next pandemic. So we see where Bill Gates is. He is now with the United States government. They're either tied or he's slightly ahead in terms of funding to the World Health Organization, which is pushing the pandemic treaty, which again involves climate change. So let's move on here to the okay. Now, in top of all this, you have the Bank of England in UK pushing the central bank digital currency. In the United States, Joe Biden issued an executive order last year to start moving the United States to looking into a central bank digital currency. And what's amazing about this, I have there on the bottom, it says, I'm sorry, sir, your card has been declined due to your political views. I think your audience understands the basic premise of this, but that's ultimately what they're getting at. And I'll get to it in a second, but it's about carbon footprints. The Bank of England said the quiet part out loud. And I don't know if your audience is aware of this, but they actually said you will be able to spend money under a central bank digital currency, a cashless society. We're not talking cryptocurrency. We're talking about central bank government-controlled digital currency. You'll only be able to buy what the government deems sensible. This is they're saying the quiet part out loud. So if you want to buy gas, meat, tobacco, you know, whatever it is that's not, or an airline ticket, that's going to go against you. It's going to be like a Chinese social credit score for your finances. Comply or else. We already know what Justin Trudeau did in Canada. You're well aware of that. You know, he basically, in essence, picked up the phone, called the insurance companies, called the bankers, and said these are now domestic terrorists, declared the Emergencies Act, first time in Canadian history, declared the Freedom Convoy protesters to be terrorists, and basically said, not we're going to cut off government, you know, government benefits, you're going to lose your pension or you're going to lose your government program, but we're going to cut off access to your own money. That, my friend, is government central bank digital currency in high action. And this is something your audience may not know. The United Nations and the MasterCard teamed up 2 years ago, a new CO2 monitoring card that enables tracking of your carbon footprint on every purchase. It will monitor your spending. If you're buying meat, again, energy, gas, your electric bill, when you hit your carbon max, it cuts off your ability to spend in a very CBDC style way. And the World Economic Forum, of course, is behind this and praised it. This has now been replicated. Visa's getting involved. It's voluntary at the moment. But remember, under a climate emergency, nothing can be voluntary because we have to collectivize. ESG, environment, social governance. I think you guys pretty much know what this all is. I mean, I don't want to spend too much time, you know, defining it. But essentially, I love Vivek Ramaswamy. He called it the defining scam of our time. And of course, Elon Musk has followed suit with that. These are some consumerresearch.org came out. What does ESG stand for? Not environment, social governance, but enabling slave labor and genocide. Because all ESG is a Chinese empowerment act. We're offshoring. And even Canadian Economic Group did this about 5 or 7 years ago. All carbon taxes, all green agenda in the West, all it does is offshore your emissions to countries with lower human rights and environmental standards. That's all we're doing. So when we pray, hey, we're decarbonizing. No, you're basically just making us more reliant on third world hells or the emerging China. What does ESG really stand for? Elitist and socialist grifters. That's probably one of my favorite. Now, can I play this video? You think the audio will come through or?
Give it a shot. I mean, you could share. But Mark, you have time to do it. I'll do that
and then we can wrap it up. Yeah, I can do
okay.
That.
I appreciate you going overtime here.
Okay, so let me see if you hear audio.
I'll let you know if I could hear anything, but it still shows your presentation.
Can you hear it or no?
No.
No,
you have to share that. Nothing. You have to share the particular screen.
Oh, okay. One second. I'll try that. This is worth doing just because I think it's 1 minute video done by a group called the Culture War Room that is the best video I've seen in 1 minute. It says I'm sharing, but let me take a look here. I guess I'm not
sharing.
Let
me remove this thing and
let me stop that screen. And then let me, let's see here, present. Let me see if I can find the right one. All right, one sec.
This is going to make for outstanding video quality. But you know what, Mark? You've been an awesome guest. Oh, there it is. Let me just add it to the stream.
So you can hear audio. Do you hear audio?
I'm Brian.
Okay, hold on. Let me start it over. Okay, so this is just a acting job of showing you what happens under ESG and how all-encompassing it's going to be. It's a way to enforce you to go along with the woke agenda. Here we go.
Hey, I'm Brian. My pronouns are he, his, him. I understand you're looking for a small business loan, but you're having troubles with your ESG score.
I was denied.
What's your business?
Operate drilling equipment, oil and gas.
Uh-huh. The E in ESG is for environmental. You're in a dirty industry.
So I can't get no loan?
Well, let's take a look at your company's social policies. Tell me about your plan to create social justice.
Social justice.
Do your employees get paid time off for abortions? And tell me about your diversity, equity, and inclusion plan.
Well, I ain't got none of that. I'm a driller. I just hire good people to do the work.
Well, maybe there's one more thing we can check. Do you have any female co-owners?
No, just me.
Ooh, have you ever identified as a woman? Or even just non-binary? It could really help your score.
What?
Your loan is denied. Come back when you fix your ESG score.
Brilliant.
Okay. I just thought that would be a fun thing to give you, audience. That's really what we are talking about here when it comes to ESG. We're not very far from that being a reality. Let me turn that screen up. All right. Anyway, so that's all. I can take any questions. I mean, that's the gist of what we're dealing with now. And so anything else you want to sum up with? You can ask me a couple of questions.
We can wrap one, I'll give you one question and get you out of here because you're a few minutes past the deadline here. Really quick, your thoughts on Bitcoin, minute or less.
Well, you know, Bitcoin, I think, is the ultimate way out of this, you know, this whole idea of central bank digital currency, ESG, even modern monetary policy. But I think, you know, there's going to be so many forces fighting. We already have people like Elizabeth Warren in the Senate going after Bitcoin for the carbon footprint. So they're trying to come after it as so many ways possible. And they're also, I believe that Sam Bankman-Fried, that whole scam of his collapse, was meant to give cryptocurrency a bad name as part of that whole collapse to scare people and to fight them. And there's also some other scary developments. I think people are using the eyeball identity now for cryptocurrency, different companies.
WorldCoin.
There's a lot of sharks in this that are trying to trick and deceive and ultimately harm cryptocurrency. But it's one of the most important tools we have to fight the great reset. But the average person public doesn't know the difference between cashless society, great central bank digital currency, or Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Mark Morano. Mark, where can people find you? Because I'm going to just pass the baton to you. What's going on with you? Where can people find you? And then we can just wrap things up.
Okay, sure. You go to climatedepot.com and at Twitter, it's at Climate Depot. And my new book is called The Great Reset, Global Elites and the Permanent Lockdown. Don't get it confused with Alex Jones, who has a book in The Great Reset, and Glenn Beck, who has a book in The Great Reset. Mine is the Mark Morano. It's a red cover, The Great Reset. And by the way, Alex Jones, actually, I was like, how is Alex Jones going to handle the climate part of his book? And he actually did two or three solid pages of my transcripts from my interviews on climate lockdowns from Tucker Carlson. He just reprinted the transcript. So you, even if you read Alex Jones, you'll get a lot of my information in that book. And Glenn Beck has been very good on this subject as well. But I think my book is actually the best single overview of the entire Great Reset from A to Z.
Well, everybody, that's a wrap. Thank you very much, Mark. We want to get you back on the show in the very near future, but thank you so much for coming on our show and gracing us with your presence.
Thank you, Len. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.